She turned a worried face to her handsome young husband.
What's wrong with it, dear?
The dog rolled on its side, legs jerking as if it were trying to run on the air. Its eyes were open wide.
I surmise that it must be hungry. Best to leave the animal, or someone could come along and set it ablaze. Happens all the time.
There was a moment of sickening blackness. When it cleared away, Doc was strolling down Fifth Avenue with Emily on his arm. She was pushing a wicker perambulator that held baby Rachel. Emily was heavily pregnant. It was a beautiful summer morning, and the street bustled with horse-drawn carriages and cabs. A hansom had lost a wheel on the corner of 32nd, and a sweating, swearing Irish policeman was struggling to clear the jammed traffic. Doc took out a kerchief with a swallow's eye design and dabbed at his brow.
By the three... something... heart.
When do we leave for Omaha, my prince among men?
Dog has too many heads, my dear. Cerberus by name and totality by nature.
Emily smiled up at him, infinitely gentle.
Don't leave me, Theo.
Of course not. Never and a day. Safe here, aren't we, Ryan?
The one-eyed man was walking on the far side of the pram. He wore a patch over his left eye, but the other socket welled with black blood.
Today's not safe, Doc. Tomorrow's worse. Only safe place is yesterday.
The picture of 19th century New York trembled, and Doc fell to his knees, holding his head and rocking back and forth. The pain was appalling, swirling around inside his mind. Dark shadows sucked at all of his memories.
Yesterday's safe.
Emily, the baby, the pram, they'd all vanished. There was a gleaming horse tram with walls of turquoise armor glass. People were inside it, sitting upright and facing the front. A woman holding a little baby near the rear, a man in a hat, and a young boy with stark white hair, carrying a puppy in his arms, a tall woman whose hair blazed like a New Mexico sunset. All were moving away from him.
Come back to yesterday!
Doc started to run toward them, but a sword stick of demonic agony tore into his head. He fell down, blood coursing from his nose. The blood ran over the sidewalk, which was built from patterned tiles that made up a star-spangled banner. A mop-headed youth holding a battered guitar patted him on the shoulder.
Something's happening. You don't know what it is, do you, Dr. Tanner? I'll let you be in my past if you let me be in yours.
It seemed like a good offer to Doc, but by the time he'd struggled to his knees, the boy had vanished.
Someone dug the dog a tomb.
Emily kissed him on the cheek.
Stay here with me forever, my love.
Yes, my dear. Of course, I will. An infinity of forevers.
The blackness enveloped him. Christy Roth could usually control what happened to her mind when she was sleeping, or when she was making a Matrans jump. The training that she'd been given by her mother Sonia, back in her homeville of Harmony, meant that she possessed a variety of arcane skills. But even her mind was torn into the ether by the third faulty jump. She knew that the lover in her dream was Court Strasser, knew him for one of the most evil beings to blight the Deathlands. Jordan Teague had been Baron of Moxon, a notorious frontier pest hole, with festering alleys, gaudies, and bars. It required utter ruthlessness to control a place like Moxon, but Teague couldn't have done it alone. He needed a sec boss who would be 10 times more vicious and cruel. And that was Court Strasser. Christy lay back in the soft, warm bed and warmed to his touch. His long, strong fingers sought out the hidden places of her body, making her writhe with an overwhelming sensual delight. She clasped the tall, gaunt figure to her, reveling in the lean tension beneath the corded muscles. He rolled above her, spreading her thighs with a brutal jab of his knee. One hand gripped her wrists and held them effortlessly still above her head. Sweat beaded the near bald head. Thin eyes stared deep into her face. Thin lips peeled off broken teeth.
Ryan did that. threw a blaster into your mouth.
For a moment, Strasser hesitated, poised above her. His thick, powerful erection shrank between his thighs, and he lifted a clubbed fist threateningly.
Keep your mouth shut, redhead slut.
What?
I'll tell you when to open it, and I'll tell you what to do with it. Understand?
Christy nodded.
And you'll give me a son?
If you're good to me, bitch. If you're not, it'll be one of my toys to remind you of how to obey your master.
A log fire was dying in the open hearth. A small, brindled puppy was sleeping in front of it, head on its paws. And on the table by the fire was a selection of Court Strasser's toys. A whip with a short, stubby handle was studded with nails. The thongs were plaited wire, and the tips were splinters of jagged glass. Next to it was a longer whip with a single cutting lash. There were knives on the table, as well as a number of sexual aids, phalluses of differing sizes and shapes, but all with some unexpected and cruel refinement.
You ready, whore?
Strasser's narrow mustache was glistening with perspiration, and he licked his lips. By lifting her head a little, Christy could see that he was once again fully erect.
This isn't right.
Not right, you triple stoop slag. Don't tell me what's right.
Gaia, help me.
Gaia, don't do shit, lady.
Strasser braced himself between her thighs.
Let it go, Strasser.
Ryan stood in the doorway, a silvery automatic pistol in his right hand. Doc and JB were with him, and in the corridor behind, Christy glimpsed the sparkle of snowy hair.
Go fuck yourself, Carter.
Sure thing.
Ryan turned on his heel.
Ryan!
What?
Wait!
Going, lover. Gotta keep moving. Maybe stop one day.
Let the back-shooting bastard go.
Strasser eagerly pressed the tip of his engorged maleness against her body.
Ryan, I want you.
Court there will give you what you want, lover. Child, family, place to settle and live.
The headache was electrifyingly painful, throbbing to the beat of an unseen drum. Christy struggled against Court Strasser, but her normal power had gone.
Only with you, lover.
But she and Strasser were now alone on a hillside above a shallow valley. Beneath them, she could see the polluted waters of a vast, rancid lake. The Sekhbar still held her beneath him, about to complete the rape.
Gaia, help me.
I'll help you with this.
Christy was certain that she would vomit at any second. A little dog hurled itself at Strasser, distracting him for another blessed moment.
You son of a bitch!
The dog received abrupt punishment from the murderous man. He reached out with his free hand and caught the pup around the throat.
Take this, you little freak!
He squeezed once and dropped the twitching little body to the warm earth.
Killer!
You better believe it.
You'll die.
Strasser stroked Christy's long red hair with his free hand and smiled with a shocking gentleness.
Oh, yeah. We all will.
I can't stand it.
Court Strasser's face shimmered like a reflection in a wind-tainted pool. The grip on her arms weakened, and Christy tried again to pull away from him. Her eyes felt as if someone were trying to push them from their sockets with white-heated pistons.
I want to give you what you want, slut. Give you what all women want.
No!
Keeping a hold on his sanity was one of Ryan Carter's toughest struggles. Three jumps, back to back to back, the last from a defective gateway, were enough to scramble anyone's brain. He fought as hard as he knew how to hold the sweeping tide of blackness at bay, but it rose and rose about him until even his mental and physical powers were drained. He was in an abandoned ochre quarry, endless ravines and canyons of multicolored clays that ranged from the palest gray-white to the deepest, richest vermilion. Ragged trees lined the tops of the sheer cliffs, and the remnants of rotting wooden ladders were pinned to the walls. The air was heavy and sulfurous, weighing down on Ryan's head and shoulders. His steel-toed combat boots slithered in the orange clay, making it hard to progress in any direction. And all directions looked the same. His coat was sodden with his sweat, and he wasn't carrying any kind of weapon. Ryan felt there were other people somewhere in this technicolor wilderness. He saw the marks of feet, sometimes fresh, with moisture still seeping into them, and twice he thought he heard a voice behind the next twisting turn. But when he rounded the blind corner, nobody was there. As he eased the patch from over his left eye, he was assaulted by a sudden memory of his murderous brother, Harvey. The livid scar etched across his right cheek flared at the thought. There was a doorway in the bright wall of stone ahead of him, and a barred gate with a huge, brooding figure standing in front of it, an armored man holding a strange weapon of polished brass with a gaping muzzle. It was like no blaster that Ryan Carter had ever seen, and he knew instinctively that it possessed a dreadful capability. Nothing he could do would enable him to beat this sinister Set Guard. Yet the gateway presented him with his only chance of escaping from the ochre maze.
What's your Set clearance, Outlander?
B-100.
Name?
Carter. Ryan Carter.
The giant consulted a piece of white parchment in his mailed fist.
Carter.